Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the streets day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the streets telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just can't get enough of that song. It is so meaningful, so powerful, that no matter what's going on, no matter what's said about him, no matter what's coming his way, he just pressed on to tell the story about Jesus, that one that took a nobody and allowed him to tell everybody about somebody who could save anybody. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. It is so important that God's Word be a part of your life, because it gives you life. The Scripture tells us in Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ears unto thy saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life, they are life, they are life, they are life unto those who find them. When you find his word, it gives you life and health to all your flesh. Man is just a technician. He can't heal nobody. But God will work through man as a vessel to send his healing power upon you so that you can be healed. I believe we're being healed every day. That's just the way I feel about it. And not just physically, but emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, we're being healed in a mighty way. He sent his word to heal us and redeem us from our own self-destruction. He gives us another golden opportunity to celebrate him, that he may get all the glory, honor, and praise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name, for this is the day you have made, and we're going to rejoice, we're going to celebrate, we're going to dance, we're going to laugh, we're going to be excited, because you gave us your breath and strength to allow us to have another golden opportunity to celebrate you. And as we celebrate you, God, we thank you for this endless grace and mercy that you show us every day. Show us every day, despite of ourselves, even though we're striving towards the mark of perfection, we have not reached that yet. Your patience abounds. Your patience allows us to grow and mature, to become all you intend us to be. It's such a beautiful, beautiful blessing. And it's such a blessing, Father God, to know that you forgive us when we make a poor decision. And yet still, like a man that fall off the horse, Father God, we can get back up and ride again, Father God, letting the world know about you and what you have done for us yesterday, do for us today, and what you're doing for us tomorrow. As Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's already in the future. God is with us right now. And when we reach the future day, tomorrow as we call it, he'll be with us right now. This is something to celebrate. God will never leave you or forsake you. This is something to celebrate. I thank you, Father God. I pray for everyone, Father God. I don't want to miss a human being, Father God. I pray for the elderly, the mature adult, the middle-aged adult, the young adult, the teenager, the adolescent, the toddler, the newborn, and the unborn. Yes, I pray that the unborn, like John the Baptist, will jump in their mother's womb because they want to celebrate you. And I pray for those who are called the seasoned ones, Father God, will pass the knowledge back down so those who are coming along will get that knowledge and be able to rightly divide the word of truth through the Holy Spirit. But their experience shared with them will make them more welcoming to your word. I thank you, Father God. So as I go forward today, Lord, I just thank you right now that I decrease and the Holy Spirit increases in me to give me the ability to share that which you impart in my heart, the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding and the ability of discernment, that each and every person under the sound of my voice will not just listen to my voice, but will go do their due diligence, to study to show thyself approved, the right to divide the word of truth, that be a workman that need not be ashamed, that they would do what they need to do, because, Father, you work through us all differently. You give us all a different revelation. So, Father God, if they just start with this and move forward, I know we can move towards that spiritual maturity in Christ. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, will we be able to exercise the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, patience, mercy, grace, forgiveness, self-control, and all this through faithfulness, because you gave us all the measure of faith that we can exercise. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Again, I am glad to be here. I'm having a miraculous day. I just did an interview with a station as a kid that I used to listen to called WGPR. Now it's called WGHR. And so it was interesting because some of the people I used to watch when I was a kid on TV are now head of the station, and it was just great. And I took my book in, and we talked about it and some of the things in life, basically the emphasis on manhood. So I was excited about that, because as God is utilizing me, again, they asked the question, what gives you joy? You know, I had to tell them, it's my God. It's my God. That's what gives me joy. He who gives me joy, he's the one that helps me to celebrate life. So, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. So I'm excited to have another opportunity to come on and share what God has put on my heart. And as always, I believe that, again, when we read quotes, we read experiences from people. What they have experienced has now been condensed down to a small version of writing so that we, too, can take this knowledge and wisdom and utilize it to help us move through our spiritual journey. Hallelujah. Richard Paul Evans said, the greatest shackle we bear in this life are those forged by our own fears. Fear can stop you. Fear can stop you. But we know God tells us he did not give us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. Martin Luther King says, there is little hope for us until we become tough-minded enough to break loose from those shackles of prejudice, half-truth, and downright ignorance. You know, I love this other quote. I can't recall who said it, but he says that the light of knowledge expels the darkness of ignorance. Oh, I love it. I love it. Hallelujah. The great Houdini says, no prison can hold me. No hands or leg iron or steel lock can shackle me. No rope or chain can keep me from my freedom. Hallelujah. 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 The scripture tells us in Galatians 5:13-14, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. I always pray when I pray in the morning specifically, I always ask God to teach us how to love ourselves. Many of the things that we see today in society is because people don't know how to love themselves. Yes, I said it. They don't know how to love themselves. We have Hollywood versions on how to love ourselves. We have ignorance being passed down on how to love ourselves. But when we go into the Word of God, He begins again to expel that darkness of ignorance and give us His knowledge, wisdom, and understanding so we can rightly divide the Word of truth. Why did I say that? Because He is the way, the truth, and the light. If we follow Him, we can move forward to become more victorious in our journey. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but will I not be mastered by anything? But I will not be mastered by anything. There are many people who are being mastered by everything. Everything that comes their path, it is now taking control. So their freedom has now been robbed. How do I know this? Just check with the credit card company and see how they are a slave to the master. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let me emphasize that again. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. When two or more are gathering, there he is in the midst. There is freedom. Let freedom ring. Hallelujah. As God do his thing. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed, because there is freedom in the Son. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Proverbs 4:23 says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts can ruin your life. So shall a man think, and so shall he doeth. If you think negative, you think that you are a slave, you are enslaved. So let me tell you a little story here. I like to call this a perspective out of our range. So once I was at a park and I saw two men sitting separately. One of the men was very upset with his life as he earned very little in comparison to others. Actually, he earned only $50 a day. On the other hand, there was another man who was very happy with his life despite being poor. During the day, both of the men met to play chess. The man who was happy said to the other man, I am very happy with my life, as I'm able to take care of my family with the money that I earn. The other man asked, how much money do you earn a day? The happy man replied that he earns $50 a day. The unhappy man was shocked to hear this because he earned more than the man who said he was happy, even though in reality he was earning the same thing. But in his mind, he thought he earned more. However, when the man was unhappy, listened to the man who had a different perspective, it caused him to examine himself and begin to recognize the real value in life. It is not what you have on the outside. It's more about what you have on the inside. You see, my friend, the moral story, in a world that is so competitive and always comparison, in a comparison mode, it can be difficult to find the balance in life when you entertain external factors. However, when you learn to take a hard look at your values and principles that you say you want to live by, but may not have the true courage to follow through. It's been said that let a man examine himself. Let yourself truly be free by letting God's word show you the true value in him. Then you can see the external factors are not as important as having that internal stability in life. So our show for today is titled, Removing the Shackles and Embracing Your Freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Let no doubt remain outstanding except the continued debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Now we know this is kind of a collaboration of scriptures. However, what we're talking about here is that when you are set free, you stand firm. Freedom, everyone wants it. Everyone at some point will talk about having it, and everyone will strive to obtain it. I think that this is a term that has a great deal of meaning, that when we entertain it from its most in-depth meaning, it can generate within oneself a true sense of peace and joy within our lives. The problem is we struggle with that. The above statement can be liberating. Why? Because for those of us who have accepted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and his salvation, this freedom allows us to stand firm. And if we do not allow ourselves to put the shackles of slavery back on, we can move forward because we are determined not to allow that burden again to be placed upon us and find ourselves in a mental level of slavery. It is funny how life works. I can remember as a kid, maybe 11, 12 years old, in a history class, stating to my teacher, I didn't realize, again, a lot of things I said when I was a kid was so way ahead of my time. Maybe, as one would say, I was seeing the future, if you will, what could come. But I didn't have a whole lot of insight because I was kind of a radical little kid. I just liked being busy and doing my thing. But I also was a thought-provoking kid. I always generated these thoughts that were a little bit deeper than my age when I reflect back. But I remember stating to my teacher that if one can put shackles on your mind, they don't have to worry about putting shackles on your legs because you've been held captive by the greatest chains of all, mental shackles. We see this every day. With all the prisons being filled, all the crimes that's being committed, all the disservices in leadership, we can see that there are a lot of mental shackles on people's mind. And that's where Satan wants to attack. That is why it's so important that we utilize the whole armor. And one of the pieces of the armor is the helmet of salvation. We need to save this mind. Otherwise, we'll look up and we'll remain enslaved in those mental shackles. Many of the people I've talked to over the course of time could be described as individuals who have been enslaved in their mind, and this would include myself. Now, one thing I have learned about human behavior is that if you use such terms as enslaved, ignorant, and pride-minded, you're probably going to encounter some pushback because people are easily offended by terms that says there is something you may be displaying in your actions or saying with your own mindset to keep you limited internally, and it seems to manifest on an outward basis during your presentation. In other words, people don't want you to say nothing bad about them because everybody wants to look good in their own mind. But this is so important that we recognize where we are, because Scripture tells us, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. One who has put themselves in a position to reject knowledge enslaves themselves. See, pride is a very powerful shackle because it will prevent you from seeing the light that is trying to expel that darkness of ignorance that I spoke of. But let me take a few minutes just elaborate on terms. First one, pride. A feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievement. The achievement of those whom one is closely associated or from quality or possession that is widely admired. That was from the noun perspective. But the adjective, thinking too highly of oneself, conceited, arrogant, or overconfident, such as one who is a prideful person might say, I was too bitter and too prideful, and I think that I needed to go into an addiction recovery center. They were enslaved by drugs, but they, because of their pride, they didn't, couldn't see that. You see, the scripture tells us out of Romans 12:3, for I say to every man that is among you, through the grace given unto me, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly according to as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. We need to think soberly, not with conceit, not with this pseudo pride. Then I'd like to address the term ignorant. Lack of knowledge or awareness in general, uneducated or unsophisticated. Now, I didn't know this to be truthful about it, that there are different forms of ignorance, and these are the three. Factual ignorance, absence of knowledge of some fact. Now, I knew these things, but to put it in a kind of a format was not something I was aware of. So I love this. Objective ignorance, unacquaintance with some object. And technical ignorance, absence of knowledge on how to do something. Now, all of us fit in one of these categories. And again, if you tell someone that they're ignorant, that doesn't mean that they're incompetent or they can't comprehend or what have you. That just means that something is missing of some facts. Or something that you're just not acquaintance with. So object or things of this nature. And technical, absence of knowledge on how to do something. There are many things I don't know how to do. I surely don't know how to get a rocket to the moon. So there are a lot of things. But that doesn't mean that we're missing it, because God has equipped us with the same measure of faith. That means we can go out and we can acquire this knowledge. Been enslaved. The verbal meaning is basically someone who is slave, who is a slave, causing one to lose their freedom or choice in action. They are such as they were enslaved by the need to take drugs and make a slave of them, bringing them into servitude. You know, it's funny. I had many drug addicts in my family, and I've been associated with quite a few myself. But at the end of the day, I realized how much they were enslaved, because just the fact that they would go out and do the stealing and all the different things to get the money, to get the drugs, and it was driving their behavior, driving their attitude, driving their perspective, driving their belief. They were mentally slaved, enslaved, if you will. Now, each of these terms are not always so flattering to hear, but to put them in their right perspective causes one to examine him or herself, gain the knowledge, the understanding, the wisdom needed to write and divide the word of truth. We know, as I said in the quote earlier, this truth will set you free. See, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, and I already emphasized, 11:28-34, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now, I know this is a part of the elements that we get when we're doing communion, but again, the emphasis, examine yourself. Many people don't want to do this. In my emphasis in my education on emotional intelligence, one of the things that starts off with emotional intelligence is self-awareness. One must become aware of oneself before they can do anything else. And since we highlight these three forms of ignorance, factual, objective, and technical, we can see we could be missing something that keeps us enslaved to the master of servitude, to mediocrity. Let me point out a few things, a few quotes. Be fearful of mediocrity. We do not want to think about our weakness. We do not want to talk about them. And we certainly do not want anyone else to point them out. This is a classic sign of mediocrity, and this mediocrity has a firm grip on the church and humanity at this moment in history. Sadly, mediocrity. You will never see the eagle of distinction fly low with the pigeon of mediocrity. Price of excellence is discipline. The cost of mediocrity is disappointment. Do not settle for mediocrity when you're when you were created for greatness. Know who you are. And again, back to the scripture telling us, for God did not give us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. He didn't give us the spirit of mediocrity. We should not be flying down, hanging out with pigeons, but we should be soaring like eagles. Now, pigeons have their place, but when you've been placed to be a masterpiece, when you've been placed to call joint heirs with Christ, when you've been placed to be a brother or sister to Christ, Christ did not come here to be mediocre. Christ came here to exercise the greatness of his heavenly Father, that we would become recipients of it. See, again, when we fall into mediocrity, we fall into slavery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to take a moment, because I won't be before you long today, but I want to take a moment to read an autobiography by Portia Nelson. She had wrote her autobiography in 5 short chapters. In 150 words, she provides a piercing insight on how we can enslave ourselves and let pride get in the way and interfere with our true walk with Christ because of some levels of ignorance. Let me begin. I walk down the street and there is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes me forever to find my way out. Chapter 2. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I'll fall in again. I can't believe it. I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It is a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am, and it is my fault. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5. I walk down another street. Here we can see that we all can fall right into this mindset of being enslaved, and we can also see ourselves exercising pride. We can also see ourselves operate out of some level of ignorance. The question is, are we ready to be set free to take another path? Are you in a hole right at this particular time where your mind is being enslaved by the conditioning of the world that has robbed us of true freedom that God gives, because he's always going to be there to help us move forward? But we can see how we can fall into those traps in chapter 2, 3, and 4, where we need to tweak things or allow the freedom that God gives through the Holy Spirit to make better choices on how we approach our freedom and exercise it. This may mean we have to make decisive, radical decisions from people, places, and things that keep us enslaved. One of the most dangerous mistakes in life we can do is ignore the moment God invites us through the Holy Spirit to take another path and walk down another street. My brothers and sisters, this takes tremendous awareness and courage to embrace a new direction in our lives. See, the scripture tells out of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You see, when God sets us free, we are free indeed to choose whether we truly want to be free or do we want to keep walking down the same street that keeps us in the hole and keeps us in chains. Keep us wearing the shackles that Jesus set us free from. Keep us in shackles from that Jesus set us free from. Too often we go back and we put those shackles on in relationships, in our workplace, in our relationship with God, in our interaction with people in general. in our ways that we do things to deal with the challenges of life. As I was telling someone the other day, half of the problems we see, because we see that people get so offended, as they get so offended, they begin to struggle with the need to be able to cope in life. They do not know what to do. And because of this, they've remained in those shackles. I want to talk about offense for a brief second. I'm going to put myself on hold here because I want to read something that I think is so significant and how we can sometimes get enslaved in these situations. Let me point out something here. It's called great expectation. I realized that the love I was giving was being sowed into the spirit, and eventually I would reap those deep seeds of love. I didn't know from where, but I knew the harvest would come. No longer did I see it as a fair when love wasn't returned from the person I was giving it to. It freed me to love the person even more. If more Christians recognize this, they wouldn't give up and become offended. Usually, this is not the type of love we walk in. We walk in a selfish love that is easily disappointed when our expectations are not met. If I have expectations about a certain person, those people can let me down. They will disappoint me to the degree that they fall short of my expectation. But if I have no expectation about someone, anything given is a blessing and not something owed. When we set ourselves up for offense, we set ourselves up for offense when we require certain behaviors from those with whom we have relationships. The more we expect, the greater the potential of the offense. This has stopped people from loving one another. See, the scripture tells us to keep no record of wrong. The scripture tells us that we should not be self-seeking. The scripture tells us that love endures and bears all things. The scripture tells us that we should create hope. The scripture tells us we should develop trust. The scripture tells us we preserve the love that Christ shown us. This is out of 1 Corinthians 13, 7 through 4 through 8, I'm sorry. And it should never fail. But if we put our expectation in man, we can mentally and emotionally enslave ourselves, preventing ourselves from becoming all that God intended us to be. See, Jesus understood this. But let me share a story from just a brief piece in Acts 12, 3 to 19, and I just kind of made it a short version. And it says that Peter was put into prison by King Herod. But the night before his trial, an angel appeared to him and told him to leave. Peter's chains fell off, and he followed the angel out of the prison, thinking it was a vision. And even though he thought it was a vision, he didn't go and put those chains back on. See, this is what's so important. We have to recognize when God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit come together and they set us free. And then even if you want to go with the angels setting us free from some entrapment, we need to embrace it. We need to acknowledge it. And we need to accept it. Because this freedom gives you the freedom to be able to walk in the peace and the joy that God said the world can't give. This freedom allows you to exercise the measure of faith to move mountains. This freedom allows you to be more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. This freedom allows you to be in the position to say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. This freedom allows you to be able to say unto the mountains, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart. Believe these things, what you pray shall come to pass. Therefore, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. This is the freedom that Christ gives us, the freedom that truly sets us free. But if we don't grasp it, we don't believe it, we don't act on it, because faith without works is dead, we remain shackled remain shackled in that holding pattern, or if you will, remain shackled in that prison as that young lady wrote about in a hole. And we continue to walk down the same street because we're so pride-minded. We continue to walk down the same street because we're walking in that darkness of ignorance to the point we become enslaved and we remain that way. But when you truly become free, when I think about freedom sometimes, I'm always reminded of Harriet Tubman, that she refused to be shackled down. She refused to let her ability and skills limit her from being able to do what she knew God called her to do. And like Peter, she kept having a vision. And the vision was to free those who were enslaved. So if you are enslaved to any form of fashion in your relationship with self or others, it's time to allow God's power of freedom to truly set you free. If you are enslaved to the external things and the cares of the world, it is now time to allow God to set you free. If you are enslaved to some form of theology or practice or religion that can prevent you from being able to experience the true freedom of Christ, because remember, he is the way, the truth, and the life, it is time to let God set you free. Because again, as the scripture tells us, he who we set free is free indeed. Don't go back and put the shackles on. Don't let nobody put the shackles on. Allow God to work through you through the Holy Spirit so that you may go forward and exercise those talents and abilities and gifts that he gave you. Don't be like the man the three men, where one went out and he buried his while the other two multiplied theirs. Multiply the gift that God gave you through spending quality time with him so you get to know him. Because as you draw closer to him, he will draw closer to you. As he draw closer to you, he will reveal the knowledge and wisdom and understanding of life that you would need to be able to walk down the path that he will make straight for you to be victorious. But you have to allow it. See, God is not a taskmaster. He gives us the freedom of choice, the free will. But when we allow our will to line up with his will, as Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. When we do that, there's abundance of freedom waiting for us. All we have to do is exercise it. I was in another group yesterday, and I was talking about time and money and how we allow the enslavement of life, the cares of life, to prevent us from utilizing and being wise stewards of time and money. See, most people, and I'll just use a factory worker, if you will, most people will make that $1 million they keep playing the lottery for. They will make that million in a lifetime. But if you go to the average person's home, you will not see $1 million worth of nothing, including myself. Yet we made it. You know how to be a wise steward of money, because we were enslaved by the things, for example, today of the media and what they bombard us with through these subliminal messages to call us to run out and say, oh, it's a scarcity. This is the last one selling out. You got to go get it. So we get enslaved with fashion, cars, entertainment, and gossip that consumes us and time. You know, if you live to be 50 years old, I love this here. If you live to be 50 years old, that's 18,265 days. Can you say that your life has produced the maximum of what God, or at least three-quarters of what God intended you to do in that time frame? I was thinking about it, even though soon I'll have 4 degrees, but I was thinking to myself, I could have had 10 in that time span. I could have accomplished some other things that God wanted me to do in that time span, but I wasn't a wise steward. Why? Because I was enslaved to the things that the world had taught me and conditioned me. Now, as the Holy Spirit is releasing me, those shackles are falling. And believe me, people, I got a lot of them. But I'm pretty transparent. I don't mind telling you that. See, I know as a leader, my leadership is not defined by man anymore. My manhood is not defined by man anymore. My humanity is not defined by man anymore. It is defined by God through the Holy Spirit to teach me how to exercise the fruit of the Spirit and become an image bearer of Christ. And that now has become my mission. I'm a soldier. I'm mission driven. So therefore, I'm breaking no shackles. I am escaping. I am no longer a POW of war. I am moving forward in this battlefield as a fighting warrior, a true soldier. I no longer hang out in the playground of the world and its cares. I'm now on the battlefield ready to get down. Ready to get down. But as I was telling my children's mother yesterday, you got to let patience have its perfect work. Can't beat up yourself because Satan wants to do that. I thought you said you were this. I thought you said that. Again, enslaving you, keeping you stifled, keeping you from maximizing on the potential that God has for you. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't entertain people's stuff. He didn't get caught up in their mood swings, as the new quote today, feeling some kind of way, which caused you to go the wrong way. It's time to break loose. It's time to move forward. But next week, I'd like to be able to share a few ways on how we truly can take some steps, not only to be set free, but to remain free in Christ. Freedom in Christ is soldier's perspective. Freedom in Christ is truly an answer to being able to regulate and balance life. Why? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. When we escape from something that has imprisoned us for years, we are now in a position to truly operate out of freedom. It's like being institutionalized. You are so conditioned to the way of life or that path that you can't seem to know which way to go. Once you release, I can emphasize this, the movie called Shawshank Redemption, I think it was Richard Whitmore, I think his name is Whitmore. When they released him, he had been so institutionalized, he had now become enslaved in his mind that when he was actually released from the physical prison, he did not know what to do with himself. Because his mind was still enslaved. His mind was still in prison to the point that he tried to make some adjustments, but at the end, he could not carry it out. So Satan, like he did Jesus, said, if you jump off this temple, well, he basically did the same. He jumped off the temple in his own right and gave up. However, in the same movie, Morgan Freeman turned around there and he was released. But see, he was released, and I know it's not so much the comparison of walking in Christ, but he was released, and he had a different mentality, that he was going to embrace his freedom. He was going to move forward and reap the rewards of it. So he met with, I think his name was Tim Robbins. He met with him on an island, and they enjoyed their freedom. When you are set free, you don't go back to the prison. You don't volunteer to go back. That's why we see so many repeats with the people that get released from prison, because they're still in prison in their mind. They're still enslaved. But those who accept Christ, they are free indeed. You see, when you trust God with all your mind, heart, and soul, and lean not to your own understanding, you begin to experience a peace that surpasses all human understanding. It is no longer based on your limitations of the worldly concept. You begin to let go of all your bad habits that held you down, because the Holy Spirit sets in you a new life that begins to help you realize and accept your freedom. Now, as always, in closing, the most important part to any time you listen to the man or woman of God, the most important thing is to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to confess with your mouth and believe your heart that he died for your sins, because this is the beginning of your freedom, and this is the beginning of embracing the rewards that come with freedom. So if you have not, and I know, as I always go back now to say after I read this, Billy Graham, if you have not read the Bible, you think it's a great book. It truly is a great book. But it has principles and standards and values and has a moral compass that allows you to be directed towards that freedom. You just got to allow it to happen. So please consider that. Yes, I'm saying please because I desire that none should perish, as God said, and that everybody have everlasting life, the true life that he promised in the beginning, this life that allows your name to be written in the book of life. It is so essential because, again, this life here, if you're fortunate enough to live as old as Methuselah, it's still no comparison to eternity. So consider that. And again, remember out of Mark 10:35-45, Jesus explained that he came as the Son of Man to give his life as a ransom. We're here to serve God. For even the Son of Man didn't come here to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We are here to give our life as a ransom to many. For the scripture tells us, when we give, it shall be given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men shall give unto our bosom. We give unto each other, and we help support, as iron sharper iron, support and embrace the freedom that God gives us. Now, if you like what we're presenting, and there are many dynamic vessels used by God to share his knowledge, wisdom, and give you understanding so you may rightly divide the word of truth, please check out KingdomBuilderPlaza@gmail.com. You can contact us at 313-583-9739, and please sow into the ministry of www.giveify.com, GiveLify.com. All these avenues will help build the kingdom and will help build you. Because he says, seek ye first his kingdom and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. As always, in closing, you pray for me and I pray for you, and let's watch the miraculous things that God's freedom will do. God bless you. See you next week.